This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brian LaFemina is going to be on the show from 1 to 1:30 today, and he will take your questions, calls, concerns, comments as Redskins ticket consumers, which is a pretty cool deal we're offering here on the show, all thanks to him being willing to do it. That's coming up in 55 minutes. On The Fan, let's kick off your Beltway Blitz.
We will bring on Jonathan Papelbaum Finley, a.k.a. J.P. Finley, NBC Sports Washington. J.P., what out of that first week is sustainable going forward? Maybe not for 16 weeks, but can they reapply against the Colts this week?
I think the most important thing, and I know we're all caught up on the success of Adrian Peterson and Chris Thompson as well, the defensive line controlling David Johnson, shutting down the Cardinals' run game, and in turn really limiting their offense entirely. I think that is sustainable and the single biggest thing the Redskins can do if they're really going to be the team we saw week one. That team looks like a playoff team. They keep up the work on the D-line, they'll be a playoff team.
JP, it's one of those weeks where you can't really speak much about concerns because all the nitpicky things, you're looking for a problem. They didn't have to throw deep. They didn't have to get pass rush from the outside. But give me a couple things you want to see more of this week.
It's not necessarily about going deep, but you'd like to see the receivers flash a bit more and get open in ways that Alex Smith has to go there. And then, you know, defensively, early on there were a few missed tackles from the linebackers. I think coverage, this is the first week they're going to see a tight end they're going to have to worry about a lot. You know, Andrew Luck likes Jack Doyle. He's played well for them. Eric Ebron, I believe, scored a touchdown for them last week. The Skins are notoriously bad at covering tight ends. I think that is the kind of thing to watch this weekend because who's your cover linebacker? Is it Mason Foster? Does Josh Harvey Clemens come in and play a lot more in this game because that's who they want to turn to as a cover guy? We'll kind of learn more this week when they have a quarterback. Bradford got rid of the ball really fast and didn't throw it downfield very much. So Andrew Luck is going to be a very different challenge. Now, the Colts don't have a stud running back like the Cardinals do, but what Luck can do is entirely different than what Sam Bradford even tried to do last week.
Jerry's Pizza Finley, along those lines here, Marlon Mack might play this week, or if it's Jordan Wilkins, neither of those guys scare me. Can the Redskins do more here in terms of the pass rush? I'm with you. I think it was a scheme and kind of by design thing where they weren't really concerned about what Arizona might do down the football field. But I think this week they got to hit Andrew Luck a couple times. You think they'll be able to get to him?
I agree with you, Danny. I actually wrote about that this morning. Jay Gruden told me that, you know, their plan was to only rush four and just have that many more people to be accountable for David Johnson. I think the plan going to Indy has to look much different. I believe we'll get to talk to Greg Minuski today, and, you know, we'll probably ask him some version of those questions, and he probably won't give us many answers. But I think you've got to focus on getting to Luck. Because he's a little bit, even coming back from the injury, he's more mobile than Bradford. Bradford's a statue back there. And I think if they can flush him, move him around. Luck is a very talented passer, but he's also thrown plenty of picks in his career. I think the Skins, first and foremost, shut down the run, make them one-dimensional, make Luck go to the air a lot, and that's when you can see, you know, Kerrigan, Preston Smith, these guys off the edges try to get home.
JP, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Grant. Danny, if you're going to call me the Jonathan Papelbon, I want to be the D.C. Strangler, dude.
You're the D.C. Strangler.
Yeah, the D.C. Strangler. I love it. Appreciate it, dude.
See you soon, pal.
See you, JP.
Later.
Talk baseball, please, Tommy. Byron Kerr of Masson Sports is a great guy to do that with. Byron, at this stage, what else can be said about Juan Soto, perhaps the greatest teenage hitter ever?
Isn't it amazing that this team has had Bryce Harper and Juan Soto, two teenagers that are in the top four of home runs hit as a teenager. It's just a really special time. And you can't say anything more Danny, about what Juan Soto's been able to do since May 15th and his arrival with 19 homers and all the walks and all the RBIs. And it just the way he looks as a 19-year-old is out of this world compared to other people at that age. And it's just a testament to how hard he's worked since he was a teenager in the Dominican, working very hard. And, you know, even Adam Eaton there talking to him after the game there about that outstanding home run, second deck, just ridiculous power. And it just shows how strong this outfield can be in the next few years and beyond, you know, if Bryce Harper's there or if he's not. And it's just it's a solid get for the club. They've done a nice job with the Dominican Academy. Victor Robles and Juan Soto are only the beginning of what they can produce from the Dominican.
Byron, five straight wins, no ground gained on the Braves because they, after stinking up the joint for a few weeks when the Nats couldn't gain any ground, have also gotten hot simultaneously. But if the Nationals can finish well here, what will that mean going into the offseason? Is anything going to be taken out of that other than pride? Is it important at all?
I mean, it just shows that guys like Adam Eaton and guys like Kota Glover and Steven Strasburg pitching well last night, you know, they have some legitimate guys for next year and beyond. Even with the possibility of losing Bryce Harper, they still have Max Scherzer, obviously. They've got a solid core, and you and I have talked about this many times, about second base and catching and some other things that they need to shore up. But for everybody saying that this window is closing, every New York Met or Atlanta Brave broadcaster who's hoping that the window is closing, I mean, certainly they've got some work to do. But this shows you that there is a talent base there and that when they play together and they play baseball together, they can win games. Now, obviously, the Philadelphia Phillies are a shell of what they were before, and the San Francisco Giants are mired in their longest losing streak since became the San Francisco Giants. So they did the Nats no help at all. And, of course, you know, you can dream on a star here if they can win today and sweep the Braves and then go out and shatter the Marlins while, you know, the Braves have to play the Cardinals. I mean, wish upon a star. It is a little bit late, but there's, you know, still a remote possibility they could do something. It just shows that, you know, for everybody saying that all is lost for this team for the future, it certainly isn't. And it also is tremendously disappointing, Grant, because they do have the talent. And they wasted a lot of wins in April and June and July against teams that they should have defeated, and they wouldn't have been in this situation. But it is promising to see them have a W5 right now.
BK, quickly, Joe Ross, only just a quick, brief showing, but it was impressive. That might be a guy that internally solves one of their needs going in the next year if they're confident in what he's doing late season. He's on the bump today. Prognosis?
Totally agree. So excited to see him hit 96, 97 and be able to move that fastball around and hit his spots, no walks, doing a real nice job considering all he's been through in the last 14 months. And they had question marks about what they're going to do for, you know, the possibility of trying to find a vulnerable starter. At least Joe Ross will help them to go out and look for another one to replace Gio Gonzalez and what he did. But that's certainly a bright spot, and it's too bad we only got to see five outs from him. So hopefully the weather will help him today and we'll get to see him showcase for five or six. It's one of the more positive stories here in the final month of the season.
And Joe Ross touching 97 is something I can absolutely sign up for. Hey, Byron, thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. We'll see you soon.
Great having you back on. There's Byron Kerr on our Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Next, people are buzzing about the Redskins. I'll tell you a little story. I was in my car yesterday listening nationally to Sirius XM's NFL radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation they were having about the Redskins, I basically wanted to call them and say, hey, guys.
Settle.
Everyone needs to slow their roll. But it was crazy to hear it on a national level on that platform. We can get into that next. Are the Redskins legit? You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Good day here at 106.7 The Fan.
I mean, dude.
It's a good day.
Wow.
For the Grant and Danny radio program. We appreciate all of you for listening.
Seriously.
Spreading the word on the show. Good news is good news is good news. Brad Edwards runs the athletic department for the George Mason University Patriots. He was an NFL defensive back who played and helped the Redskins win a Super Bowl. We're going to ask him about some of the rule changes in football, some of the changing climate on what is and is not acceptable at the safety position, coming downhill and hitting receivers. Also want to get his thoughts on some of the athletics over at Mason. Looks like they're getting ready to start a new basketball season, so we'll do that at 12:45. Brian LaFamina is in studio with us from 1 to 1:30 today. He is the Chief Operating Officer and the President Business Operations for the Redskins. So go ahead and do this. If you've got a question you want asked of LaFamina and you want to ask that question of him on the phones, you can call us at 1:15 and we'll get you on the horn at 800-636-1067. If you know you're not going to be able to, but you've got a question you want asked on your behalf as either a season ticket holder or someone who buys tickets to Skins events, you could tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny, and we will pass it along for you for sure.
Absolutely. And again, this is a unique opportunity. Think about where we were maybe, you know, just a handful of years ago. Think about where we are now. This is neat. Credit to him for doing it.
I'm in the car yesterday, and last evening I'm listening to SiriusXM's NFL channel, and they're talking about the Redskins. And you would have thought they were talking about the Patriots or the Packers.
The Vikings or somebody.
Or the Steelers or the Vikings. They were singing the praises of, among others, obviously Adrian Peterson. Alex Smith is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, he is going to completely change the culture and take the Redskins to the Super Bowl, and he'll be a calming influence in the postseason is one of the things that I heard. But the number of very positive takes about the Redskins, one after another, were just stunning to me. I thought, wow, people are buying in. You watch NFL Live, whether it's on ESPN or some show on NFL Network where they're breaking down all of the takeaways from the first week of the season. Because everything that could go well did.
Yes.
The thought right now is that Adrian Peterson is going to be a gem of a steal for the Redskins.
It already has been, honestly.
Well,
right?
No doubt. But that people are saying this is who he is, and that Alex Smith is going to be a Pro Bowler here in Washington, which would be great, and that the defense is much improved, and Jay Gruden's got his team ready to go win 11 games or something like that. We are more cynical here. We're also more accurate, I would say, because we watch closer, we know more, we study this thing in a way that on the national level people don't. But because of that, we are more cynical. We are more likely to ask questions that may not be there. You've been here and you've seen the collapses and the swinging gates and the lost fumbles in big spots, and you are kind of burned so many times over that you don't want to try to touch the pot again to see when everyone's telling you it's not that warm. So here's the question. How long will it take you to completely buy in on this team? Because my guess is they're going to be 2-0 after Sunday, and they're going to look good for the second time in as many weeks. The Colts are not that good. The Redskins seem to be pretty good. If they are 2-0 going up against the Packers, albeit in games they should have won if they're going to be 8-8 or 9-7, because, as I mentioned yesterday in the Washington Post power rankings, the Cardinals and the Colts were two of the bottom three in the whole National Football League, so you got a very fortuitous early season schedule. But if you're a good team, you take advantage of that, you look that gift horse right in the mouth,
and you get
on it and you ride it. And they will have done that at 2-0. Would that be enough to get you in? Or would you have to wait and see what they do against a Green Bay or New Orleans in the weeks ahead against playoff hopefuls? Are they legit? Are you buying in? When would you buy in? Those are the questions. We have set the table. Now eat 800-636-1067.
So to your point about us being maybe a bit more cynical here in D.C., the flip side is true, too. Remember, when Kirk Cousins is announced the starter, everybody that does a power rankings goes, the Redskins will be the worst team in the league. They'll be 30th, 31st, 32nd. They'll pick first in the draft. This is a colossal mistake. And we went, well, maybe not so fast. Nobody's crowning them Super Bowl champion, but they're not the worst. And that was the national narrative. And they're still going, big free agent spenders. Well, that hasn't been true in a long time. Update your file. We do, because we live this. The other side, though, that I would say it is more accurate to be cynical is this is one of the only franchises that hasn't won 9-plus games in back-to-back seasons this millennium. They don't have an 11-win season since 1991. There's a reason to be a little bit skeptical that everything has now kind of worked out. Yes, they've started better than they have in five seasons, frankly. But the runaway train is what we do. You need fodder after the only sample that you have, right? We do this in baseball, too. Remember the second week of the season when the Mets were undefeated and they couldn't lose and they were going to be the best team in the league and, oh, my God, let's run away with it? Well, it's the only data we've got. We've got this year what they've done so far. 6% of the season is now over, right? We have preseason data, expectations, but what do those mean? Rubber met the road in week number one, and the Redskins were one of the five or six most dominant teams in week one, regardless of opponent. They played a bad opponent. The Ravens were incredibly dominant. They beat the Bills worse than anybody won. Are the Ravens that good or the Bills that bad? Time's going to tell. But the Redskins get to be included, at least for this week, in the how about the fill-in-the-blank team because of how well they played.
In the power rankings I read, I've seen them everywhere from like 11 to 15. They're mostly in that 12 to 14 range.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is appropriate.
Better than the average team in the NFL, which after the game they just played, they should be. Right now, my feeling on the Skins is I think they're pretty good. I think last year they would have won 9 games and maybe 10 if they'd have been healthy. But certainly 9. They ended up going 7-9 after they got pillaged by injuries. And one of the reasons I feel great about Jay Gruden as a head coach and about the operation, Bruce Allen on down, and the way that they've conducted themselves the last couple of years is that they had the type of year last year that should end in catastrophe, a coach getting fired, and being on the clock second or third in the draft.
The Giants. That's what it looks like when you have the same thing the Redskins had. The Giants.
They led the NFL, the Redskins did, in adjusted man games lost, essentially, last season. So when you have that kind of year and the bottom doesn't fall out as it has time and time again with Spurrier, with Norville Eugene, with Mike Shanahan, doesn't matter who it was, it always happened. The other shoe dropped. It didn't happen last year under Gruden. And that's what gave me some hope. And it's what I kept advocating for as everyone laughed at me about how competitive they were being in some of their losses despite their injuries, because everyone's a tough guy, obviously. And there are no moral victories. Well, I just use reason and rational thought, and there are for me. Because if you're playing without your entire offensive line and 37 players that matter and you go to Seattle and win by a couple points when you shouldn't, or lose by a couple in this case somewhere else, I can still somehow find a way to use some context.
Yeah, they were only blown out twice last year. The Giants were blown out a ton.
Yeah.
And again, they had a similar injury problem as did the Redskins.
Right now, my point is they should have beaten the Cardinals. But to beat them by 18 and to be up 24-0, impressive.
Mm-hmm.
They should beat the Colts. If they beat them 17-14 in an ugly, fumble-ridden fest, they'll be 2-0, and I'll feel good about that. But they will be where they should be. If they go out and they beat them 31-10, and again, they just put one on a bad team, I'm going to feel in a way I haven't felt in a while. Because go look through the annals over the last several years for the back-to-back weeks where the Redskins have gone out and dominated an opponent. You're just not going to find it. Doesn't matter who was on the schedule, how bad the adversaries were. It hadn't happened. They've had games like the one they just played, see the Raiders. But then the next week against the Chiefs, while they played really, really well, they, quote, almost won. If only Josh Doctson would have caught the pass in the end zone, that's been the result. You lose the next game. You can't put two together. If they're 2-0, I'll feel real good. But it won't really be, to answer our question, until they beat a Green Bay or a New Orleans or a Carolina, that I will say this group is definitely different.
That's where I'm at. I need to see them against a contender. Now, win or lose, I just need to see what it looks like. What's the operation look like? When they go to New Orleans, that will be telling to me. I know New Orleans just had a stinker in week one. They had a stinker in week one and two last year before they got right and ripped off a whole bunch of wins in their games. I need to see them against somebody that ends up being pretty good to be able to kind of give a point in comparison. Because, as you touched on, if Arizona's on their way to picking in the top five, as they looked in week one, okay, maybe we don't we don't overreact to that. But, it's the only sample we've got. 2-0. Not all 2-0 teams are created equal. Remember a few years ago when the Redskins had Beck and Grossman and they started 3-1? They were 3-1 to start the season. Everyone's going, they're 3-1. Yeah, but that 3-1 didn't look the same as other teams 3-1 before the Redskins, I think, finished, what was it, like 1-10 the rest of the way? We kind of know, right? We know the difference. If they look good here this week, that's another test dealing with prosperity, which they never seem to do well, talking about the Redskins. That's a big test. The next phase is, what can you do against the Carolinas, the New Orleanses, the Atlantas, the Packers coming to town?
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's take your calls next. 800-636-1067 is the number, 800-636-1067. Are you buying in on the Skins? You believe in the hype? When will you turn the page to saying they're legit? What do they have to accomplish? Guys, we're only a few days away from the grand opening of the St. James. It's opening its doors on Saturday, September 15th. It's going to blow you away. I've been telling you about it for weeks at this point. The two NHL-size ice rinks, the massive field house for soccer, lacrosse, football, rugby, and field hockey, the brand spanking new basketball and volleyball courts. You can play softball, golf, baseball, squash, even gymnastics at the facility. They got the aquatic center. They got the pool that's Olympic size, the interactive water park Danny wants to take Bill Rowland to. All athletes, young and old, can enjoy learn to play developmental programs, skills training from top-notch coaches, competitive teams and leagues, and 30-plus sports. Visit thestjames.co right now and take advantage of an exclusive offer. If you join or sign up for sports programming before the grand opening, which is Saturday. So you got to go right now to thestjames.co and get signed up. That's thestjames.co. Saturday, September 15th is the grand opening.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant, Danny, 106.7 The Fan. What is your level of confidence in the Skins? Are you buying the hype that they're pretty good? 800-636-1067 is the number. What will it take for you to become a believer if you're like me and Danny and you're a little bit more cautious, pessimistic, realistic? You've been around the block too many times. We both want to see a win over a contender, and that could come as early as next week against the Packers or a week after that when they're taking on the New Orleans Saints. When you and I are headed to New Orleans with some of our listeners.
That's right.
Tommy and Dar will be in attendance. It's going to be a good time. Come on out to New Orleans and kick it with your pals.
But even that good result against a good team, I'd still be skeptical. Because remember back in 2016, Tommy still got the clip sometimes that he shoves in my face, where I say the Washington Redskins are good. After they beat the Minnesota Vikings, they beat Green Bay to go 6-3-1. By the way, that N1, the London stupid tie, which I'm still so irritated about. But that basically was a team that was good enough to be 7-3 at that point. And, of course, they ripped off a terrible stretch to end the season with some winnable games in there, to be honest with you, including the
Washington Redskins are good.
Yeah, that idiot said that. So that group finished, I believe, after I said that, 2-5 is how they finished the season? Missed
the Washington Redskins are good.
Including the worst loss probably of the Cousins era, that home loss to the Giants who didn't give a damn about the game and tried to lose. And sure enough, the Redskins beat them to it.
You going to say they're good again?
No, that whoever that idiot is said
that. He said
that.
It once.
Washington Redskins are good.
I would never say something like that. Dumbass. What are you even doing in the sound machine? How did you cobble that together from some other sentiments that I made?
The Washington Redskins are good.
It's not true.
Rich in Laurel, how are
Richard?
You?
Hey, Granddaddy, how you doing, man?
Good, buddy.
Okay, so I've already bought in, and I'm going to tell you why, just from an organization standpoint, is that the Redskins seemingly are finally doing it the right way. I mean, how many years have we said you build through the draft, you put talent together, there hasn't been any drama, so that permeates on the field. I also have bought in because I think their personnel is better. I think they have better players, and I remember a segment I called in about a month ago, we talked about, yeah, they don't have a lot of A-plus players, but they're getting there. But yeah. I think what I need to see to fully buy in, I need to see some adversity. I need to see how this organization handles adversity on the field. I want to see, you know, Alex Smith, the previous quarterback that we had here, a lot of criticism was that he wasn't great under pressure. So let's see what the new guy and this new team could do under pressure. So I need to see a 14-point third quarter, second half deficit on the road. And just one last thing, guys. I razz you guys on Twitter. My disco is my Twitter handle too.
All right, appreciate,
oh, appreciate
you,
the interaction, man.
Thank you, Rich.
He's good on Twitter.
Yeah, he is. Always good to have you on the show. 800-636-1067. He wants another 14-point lead, second half on the road. I don't need lead by this much.
But I see his point. I see his point, though.
I guess. I want beat a good team. That's what I need a good team. I don't care if it's home or on the road, if it's Green Bay, if it's New Orleans, if it's Carolina. Beat that team, and then let's talk. Danny's in D.C. What's up, Danny?
Danny?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Come in.
So, for me, I mean, I had already checked out originally because I was on fantasy implications only. But I just want to see the Skins be a feature on SportsCenter. One of those last undefeated teams where 4-0, 5-0, and just that feeling alone, we haven't had that. And I think the last time we had that was with the 91 season when we went 14-2. But just some feel good. Because, I mean, we're at the point where we're almost at that point where we're waiting for something to happen or we're waiting for our bubble to get burst. So just having that, having a good team on the field, 3-0, 4-0, whether we win it, this be a playoff team, this be a good team. Just have fun and just look at the standings, and we're sitting there at top. We're 4-0, 5-0, and they don't know if we're a real team or a bad team or a fake team, but we have a great record. Let's just get a great record, and we'll deal with everything as it comes along.
Easier said than done. If they're 4-0 or 5-0, I can't wait to do those shows. I can't wait for people to hear what this show sounds like. People have no idea. We don't have any idea.
I don't know what it sounds
like. We've never done a show when the Redskins were close to 4-0 or 5-0.
Like, remember how much fun it was after the Caps beat the Penguins? And we're like, we've never done this show before. We don't know what this show sounds like. This is new for everybody. And all it was fun for another 6 weeks.
Never forget, the Redskins have not won 11 games since I was in diapers. Think about that. They're the only team in the league that can say that. Drew in D.C., how are you?
Drew.
Hey, what's going on, fella?
Hey, bud.
I think the previous caller, two callers ahead, I think he was saying the Redskins overcome a 14-point deficit instead of being up by 14 a point, which I agree with.
And I think that is a good point.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I basically, out of their comfort zone is the point. Because right now,
so he's saying recover from a bad start or come back.
Or something, right? Because right now, if you can run the ball, play great defense, that's Alex Smith will look great. Can you do it when he's got to throw the ball 45 times like Cousins had to all the time? I don't know the answer to that. My guess is no, but I'd like to see. If they're able to do that, then you go, man, this team has got that versatile offense that can do anything. Go ahead, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah, but also my thing is I think I'm buying the Kool-Aid a little bit. They've been in this Jay Gruden scheme for about 4 years, man. So it got to be an upside from where they're going to. And I say if they stay healthy and they get a little bit more balanced, man, you know, I don't see why they can't beat the Packers, because even though – The Bears almost won with defense because their offense didn't really look that good. So I think we have a little bit more balanced attack. So, yeah, I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid a little bit, man. Y'all
love it, dude.
You should be. You've been waiting a long time to be 1-0 and look that good in a week one. You got to go back to 2012, 6 years ago. And there is something to be said. Jay Gruden's in his fifth year. I have asked for a long time. I've begged for continuity. That's all I wanted was a chance to just keep coming back to the well with the same group. I think that that's what the good teams do. It gives you a chance to be better than you are, and it helps when your coach is good, and I think Jay Gruden is. But the fact that he's in year five is a key. Grant and Danny on the fan. Brad Edwards used to play for the Redskins. He played in the secondary. Everything has changed since then. What does he think about some of the new rules, including roughing the passer emphasis, putting your weight on a quarterback? We'll ask him next. He's the athletic director over at Mason right here on the fan. Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. Excited to go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline and welcome onto the show the athletic director over at George Mason University, Brad Edwards, of course, played with the Washington Redskins and was a safety in a Super Bowl, had 18 career interceptions, and had a very successful NFL career. Brad, you had to like what you saw from the Skins in week one as they finally got off to a good start.
Yeah, I really did. And, I mean, just all the way around, it was such a solid and good performance from, you know, now they got a little sloppy at the end and they had three fumbles along the way. And I know they're addressing those, but in terms of just the way the offensive line took control of the game and allowed in most all passing plays throughout at least the first three quarters, they were able to get at least five receivers out on almost every passing play. As you saw, they could run the ball with consistency. The defensive line, front seven, really controlled the line of scrimmage, and I thought they tackled really, really well. I mean, you just didn't see you saw very few, if any, missed tackles throughout the game. And I thought Alex Smith looked really good coming out of the box. I felt like from the beginning the guy throws a really – going down to training camp and watching him, that he throws a really, really nice ball, and he played the check down game extraordinarily well on Sunday. So, yeah, great out-of-the-box performance.
We like Brad Edwards on the show because he's a good football analyst, but he's got a lot going on over at Mason. I'll ask you about that as a GMU guy myself, including – Mason Madness. I think they tip off
we
October
like that.
12th.
Yeah, Mason Madness is coming up. As you know, that's always a great – that's on October the 12th, by the way. So we'd love to have people come out. That's always a super energized, entertaining event. So it's – you know, our arena is you went to school here. You know it. You've been to games. You saw it all through certainly the Larinaga era and the Final Four runs and all those kind of things that – you know, it's a great basketball building, and particularly when it's full. And so we're excited about where the program's going. You know, join the A-10. It's going to be generally the 5th to the 7th best conference, you know, in the country. And, you know, since we joined, Dave Paulson came in 3 years ago. You know, he's finished 12th, 7th, 5th. A lot of people are picking us anywhere from 1st to 4th this year. So, you know, this is kind of the jumping off year that we, you know, I like to say, and I think you'll start to see a turn in the program, hopefully.
Brad, just getting back to the NFL, man, the league has changed so much in a million different ways.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, since you played at such a high level. But I wonder, like, how hard is it, do you think, for these guys, especially players that play your position? I just imagine I would have a separate account, like just I'd set aside for fines each week just because that's
right,
coming.
Right.
How hard is it?
And I was kind of still in the league when those first big fines started being handed down right about my last couple of years in the mid to late 90s there. And, you know, targeting at that point started to become an issue. And, you know, now with all the concussion concerns and it's completely the right thing. I will say, obviously I have 3 degrees. I live in a college university space, but it's still, you know, takes sometimes you're removing yourself from a situation to be objective. And, you know, when some of these rules first started being handed down, you can't help it, but as a safety, know that that's going to make your job a little bit more difficult. And, you know, if the expectations don't change along with it from, you know, coaching staffs and others. And so, you know, my first response was a little bit of a defensive one, but now, you know, it takes people like me to save others from themselves sometimes. And so, you know, I think it'll be good for the game. It'll take it's a transition, as you know, and the game is – it'll take it a little while to get up, catch up to speed, but I think it's the right thing to do. I think it'll be good for the game long term. And obviously the struggle is now on the offensive side of the ball, which you've heard a number of times throughout preseason and the first couple, the first week is, well, what happens when a running back lowers their head and it makes that, do you just take that helmet to the chest? You know, how do you respond? So I think that's the next piece that's got to be addressed. But I think certainly, you know, taking the helmet out of play, lowering your head is the right thing to do, not only from a traumatic brain injury perspective, but from an upper C-spine, you know, injury standpoint as well. And you know, preserving great plays like the kickoff, which I think is one of the grandest plays in all of sport. I mean, where else do you cover that much real estate with that many people at that kind of speed? It's just an awesome play.
Brad, let me jump in and ask you this, because I'm worried about the kickoff. It's an endangered species at this point, and it's become almost irrelevant.
Yeah, it is, and I'm not. Yeah, I think there needs to be more thought around it. I'm not completely sure all the statistics sort of back up some of the. And I think there are things. Joe Theismann and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, well, Joe, you've never covered not that many kickoffs. I think he might have covered one or two. But there are a few things that you can do along the way, just creating more of a dynamic like you see in the punt almost, where you sort of minimize the people running down and just plowing into somebody who's just standing there. So I think there's some things that could be done, but you're exactly right. It is becoming an almost irrelevant, you know, what are the percentage of kickoffs that actually have an opportunity to be returned? It's very, you know, I'd like to see that number.
Brad, this is really cool. It's not every day you get to talk to a guy that had 2 interceptions and 5 different passes defended in a Super Bowl victory. Really appreciate the time, and best of luck.
And
to
I gotta tell him about Mason too. I actually think, as a Mason guy, to show for the boys a little bit.
Yep.
Dave Paulson, non-related, but also my uncle at the same time.
Uncle Dave. Yep.
The only team in the nation bringing back 100% of the scoring output of a year ago. The entire roster. That's a pretty good thing. I think this is actually gonna be a really good year. I know you've got the new video board, the lighting, the fan enhancements. I think season tickets are going on sale at about $150. So I do want people support Mason. And where can they do that, by the way, Brad?
It's a high level. You can go to tickets.gomason. Or you can just go to gomason.com and you can find that there's a tab for tickets on our website there. So it's a very, affordable, high level. Again, we play somebody out of our conference could win a national championship. It's not that, far. We've got two teams that have been to Final Fours, Villanova in the Big East just ahead of us as an RPI conference has won, a couple of national championships. So you're going to see really, really high level basketball. And I think Dave can manage the last 5 minutes of a game as well as anyone. And the kind of kid that he's put in the program is one you're going to be proud to watch, and they're going to play hard. And, and right or wrong, that's just, that's my extension of, hey, let's play hard, let's play smart, and, let's dive for balls. And it's just all those same kind of attributes that, good or bad, I'm just like that's, if you're a coach, that's, if you're not doing that, we're probably not going to jive, as they say.
No, you're doing it right. Thank you for the time, and we will see you over in Fairfax soon.
Fabulous. Go Skins and go Patriots.
Thanks. Where's Brad Edwards, former Redskin, with us on Grant and Danny. By the way, 4-game winners at the Horn last year for them. When he was talking about Paulson's late-game management.
They're going to be a bit better than the other George, my George Washington Colonials, who look to be a bit down this year.
Eh, boy. You're listening to The Fan. Brian LaFamina, one of the highest-ranking officials on the business side with the Redskins next. He's going to take your phone calls here on Grant and Danny about the fan experience and your questions about tickets.
I got some cool events going on this weekend. Chad Dukes, Justin Schlegel, me, we're doing a fun show at Jam in Java. You want tickets to things like that out and about town? GP's going to go see Kevin Hart this weekend. Need a little extra cash. Is there a good way to earn some extra cash? Why, yes, there is. I recommend driving with Uber. New drivers can take advantage of a guaranteed offer to earn at least $2,800. More on that in a minute. When you drive with Uber, you're your own boss. And thanks to Uber's instant pay, you can cash out up to 5 times a day. Plus, you earn more every week with special promotions. Now, how about that guarantee I mentioned earlier? Right now, you can earn at least $2,800 in Washington, D.C. for your first 400 trips. It's a limited time guarantee. If you don't make the guaranteed amount in fares for your first 400 trips, Uber will pay the difference. Terms apply. Get started today. Couldn't be more easy. Couldn't be more easy. Probably easier. That's the word. Sign up at uber.com/drive now. Upload your documents. Complete the activation process. Get the app and go. That's uber.com/drive. uber.com/drive now. Certain restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.